Sports Gambling Podcast is brought to you today by Amazon. Amazon, your lead pipe lock for online retail. Log on to sportsgamblingpodcast.com and click the Amazon link to support the podcast. Welcome, everybody, to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm your host, Sean, Stacking the Money in Green. Right?
Stacking the Money in Green?
Stacking the Money. Sean, Stacking the Money Green. Ryan, I'm frazzled.
Tough night, huh?
I'm frazzled. And I'm here with my partner in picks, Ryan, Real Money Kramer. Of course, Ryan, a little rattled, a little gun-shy after week two. We are... Let's just come out and say it. We're picking like a pile of dog shit, 1-9 in our Hilton contest. We're not going to make, we're not like these other websites where you buy picks and then the guys sell you on 85% in dog road favorite selection lock picks. No, we're not trying to sell you in on anything. We're here to talk picks, talk out of our ass, come up with some good selections, and get back on the saddle. Ryan was already telling me he feels great about week three.
Yep. I don't know. I feel like, no, yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to spin it so I have confidence, but I do feel like there's like five games I really like this week.
Well, we need a two for the money type sequence where we lift weights and then just circle the picks and listen to music.
Well, we don't have to pull back the curtain and tell everyone we do this show shirtless with dumbbells in hand.
There's a dumbbell over there, but unfortunately we have our shirts on. Even though we're losing our shirts with these picks, Ryan, let's get through the bloodbath that was week two for us. Okay.
All right.
Thursday night, we felt really great about Chicago keeping it close against Green Bay. Division matchup. Fortunately, they were not. Jay Cutler throwing four picks, getting sacked seven times, losing to the Green Bay Packers 23-10. Obviously, a killer fake field goal. Really hampered... Hampered the spread, and yeah, I mean, look at that, 23-10. Wasn't for that fake field goal, might have been a push.
Throw it out.
Yeah.
I'm not downgrading the Bears at all. I still like them as a team. I don't know, I think...
In a weird way, I almost downgraded the Packers a little bit here. I think if their offense is just... It just doesn't seem like it... This is like three games in a row where the Green Bay Packers did not have that dominating offense.
They are struggling to move the ball a little bit. They played two good defenses, though. Interesting test coming up this week at Seattle.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think the biggest shocker for me, obviously the fake field goal touchdown, wasn't shocked that we got jabbed by some weird special teams play, but I was really shocked. I mean, I guess we should have factored in Jay Cutler, his career at Lambeau, but it seemed like they had enough momentum that he'd be able to keep it close. I was really shocked at Cedric Benson's ability to run the ball against the Bears. I think maybe he was just fired up, former team. I heard in an interview he said, nobody has fans like, of all the teams I've played, no one has fans like the Green Bay Packers. Which is obviously he's just saying that, but it seems like there's some bad blood with him and the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, he'll be good. I don't think he'll be great all year. I think he... I think they kind of were playing the pass, and it opened up some holes for them. I don't know. Like I said, I'm not really going to judge either team too harshly on this game. Obviously, the Packers aren't a bad team. Their defense will be good when they get up, and they can rush the passer. I think Jay Cutler is going to be Jay Cutler a couple times a year. And I don't know. I think you just got to. I think the Bears are still going to be a very good team going forward. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Bears beat the Packers the next time they play.
Yeah, it's one of these things. All these Bears fans were hanging their heads. But lose a division.
You lose a road division game. That's common.
It's not really that. Yeah, I still think the Bears are a 10-6 team, and this game really didn't change things for me. All right, let's head on down south to South Beach, Ryan, where the Miami Dolphins, getting 2.5 points at home, maybe 3 points, depending on where you got it, beating the Oakland Raiders, as predicted. I was big on this game.
Yep, we like this.
Just because of the Oakland's west to east coast, the 10 a.m. kickoff. There is really something to that. It's, I think they're like 6-26 now.
Yeah, there's some bad teams that have pretty decent defenses. Miami's been tough against the run. I don't know. I mean, I think the one thing coming out of this game that will not be consistent is Tannehill will not be consistent all year. It took a really big game from Reggie Bush to make this a blowout. I don't know. I still don't like this Miami team.
Bush, 26 carries, 172 yards, 2 touchdowns. Seems a little bit more than the fluke. This guy is running hard.
Yeah, he had some nice runs. And Oakland's not a bad defense either. This was a weird game, though. I think we said you got to close your eyes and take Miami here. But, wow. It was, I don't know. We didn't watch much of this game. Didn't make it on too many, any of the TVs.
We got 4 TVs. Not a lot of them had on the Miami-Oakland game. All right, Ryan. Houston at Jacksonville. Jacksonville getting 7 points. Ryan, I feel like Jacksonville is your next Houston team in that this is an AFC team you fall in love with for some reason. Keep defending. Keep thinking they're going to be a little bit better than they are. Keep liking them in big spreads.
Yeah, Jacksonville and San Francisco are going to be my two kryptonite teams this year. I'm going to pick Jacksonville every week and pick against San Francisco. And Jacksonville is 1-1 against the spread. And I think what we're learning in this game, more than what we learned about Jacksonville, I did say they were a live dog. They weren't really alive at all in this game. I think we just learned that Houston's going to be really good.
Yeah, Houston really taking care of business.
I think mostly their I think everyone expected their offense to be able to move the ball. I think their defense is going to be really good.
Big test next week coming up at Mile High. We'll get to that in just a second. Cleveland at Cincinnati. Back and forth game. These are usually kind of close. Tannehill looked all right, put up decent numbers.
You mean
Whedon?
You got it.
No, I was talking about Tannehill for some reason.
Oh, all right.
I just wanted to go back to Tannehill real quick. No, Whedon looked all right. Trent Richardson, nice game.
Yeah, he looked good.
19 yards, 109, 1 touchdown. This just makes me think the Eagles' defense is pretty solid because everyone was downgrading that win against Cleveland as them not really doing much against this broken Cleveland offense. Now, Cincinnati, or Cleveland, it was, Cleveland goes into Cincinnati and has a nice day offensively.
Yeah, and they backdoored it. This one kind of hurt. I was on the right side of this game, and Cleveland found a way to backdoor it with the classic kick a field goal when you're down 10 with not much time left.
Yep, yeah, the spread was 7, came in as a push on
this
most
push kind of. A win here would have made this Sunday a little bit better. But, yeah, I don't know. I think both these teams aren't very good. I think that's what I learned from this game.
Yeah, like I said, I think Cincinnati's still 7-9, 8-8. I don't think they're in the playoffs, and I think you could say the same for Cleveland. I wouldn't be surprised if wouldn't mind taking Cleveland at home against Cincinnati, though. If they're getting like 3 points, 3.5, I wouldn't mind that pick. All right, Kansas City traveled to Buffalo, where the Bills circled the wagons after their Week 1 disaster and shellacked the Kansas City Chiefs 35-17. C.J. Spiller, my main man.
Is this where you crowbar on your fantasy team?
Yep. C.J. Nice. Spiller starting running back for both my fantasy teams. Not coincidentally, I'm dominating in both fantasy leagues.
Yeah, he's been awesome.
Real score of a pickup. Also want to shout out to my cousin Rob, who I guess in my other fantasy league, the one where I'm not in with Kramer, he I guess his friend really wanted CJ Spiller and he wanted to fuck with him, so he called me. He like left me a voicemail like 7 a.m. in the morning to remind me that I had a waiver wire pick up ahead of him and that I should get CJ Spiller. So I saw voicemail and chat, and I was like, oh yeah, I should get CJ Spiller.
Wow.
It's a little shenanigans.
Very unethical.
Little shenanigans going on in the fantasy
world. Very unethical.
Ryan, real quick, before I don't want to digress too far, but Quick update. You are in a fantasy football league with your girlfriend. Can we get a update in the standings?
No, we can't. My team, I'm actually number one in points right now. But I am 1-1. Of course, I had the heartbreaking loss due to Darren McFadden's 30-point game because he caught 13 passes. But we are matched up this week. She's 2-0. I'm 1-1. And I'm terrified that I'm going to lose that.
Ryan, we
this is a league for no money. we'll go through the. Should we go through the matchup?
Yeah,
right,
just real quick.
We should go through the matchup. This is. It's really. I'm pretty confident she's going to beat me. Because that's how it works. Although interestingly enough, she's gotten really into fantasy football. She's checking her lineup like every day. I'm like, on Monday Night Football, she's rooting for her guys to get points. She's already won by like 30 points. I'm like, it doesn't.
Yeah, she knows the overall point.
Yeah. So anyway, it is a PPR league. She's got Aaron Rodgers. I got Ben Roethlisberger. Slight edge to her on there. To there, she has
tough matchup though.
She has Darren Sproles again. PPR league. Darren Sproles and CJ Spiller.
Wow.
I have Ray Rice and Doug Martin.
Not bad.
No. She has Eric Decker, Dez Bryant, Julio Jones. I have Antonio Brown, Roddy White, Dwayne Bowe. So pretty even there, too. She has Greg Olsen. She's probably going to start Witten, who's on her bench. I have Jimmy Graham. She has Steelers D. I have Giants D. She has David Akers. I have Robbie Gould.
Ooh.
It's going to be, right now, ESPN projects me to win 147-138.
Well, see, that'll be interesting. Yeah, I think it's can C.J. Spiller keep it up will be the big fantasy question.
Against Cleveland, who hasn't shown – they seem to be able to stop the run a little bit.
McCoy had a pretty solid game.
I just need Aaron Rodgers to lay an egg in Seattle.
I think it'll probably come down to Monday
goodness.
Night. All right, Ryan.
Yeah, all right. Go on. I'm stressing out about this.
Not much more to add about this Buffalo-KC game. KC just looking like a shithole of a franchise right now.
Yeah. I couldn't say it better myself.
All right. Speaking of shithole franchises, not the Philadelphia Eagles this year, baby. This is our year.
Yep.
The Eagles squeaked out another victory, 24-23 against the Baltimore Ravens. Got helped out a little bit by the refs there in a late offensive pass interference call, but really... should have blown out this Ravens team as they turned the ball over four times, three right around the red zone, or at least on the Ravens side of the ball. Vic had a pretty solid game, 371 yards, one TD, two INTs. Ray Rice, 16 rushes, 100 yards. I'm surprised he didn't get more carries. Flacco looked all right, threw a couple picks.
That's what the Ravens fans are griping about. Why isn't Ray Rice getting the ball more? I don't know. I feel like one more game where the Eagles turn the ball over four times and we have to stop being like, oh, they're going to kill people when they don't turn the ball over.
Well, it's one of those things. You look at it two ways. Either they're getting extremely lucky and winning these games that they had no business winning, or they're a really good team who can overcome turning the ball over nine times in two games.
I think the first game they overcame it. I think the second game they got a huge assist from the refs. I don't know. Either way, they're 2-0.
I mean, they're dominating in yards, time of possession. They look really good moving the ball.
Doesn't matter. I mean, yeah, I don't know. There were some questionable calls there, but they pulled it out.
Yeah, and they've gotten jobbed plenty of times.
And Joe Flacco regressed to Joe Flacco in the second half.
Yeah, he did. No, I mean, I think really, as an Eagles fan, the thing I'm really excited about is just the way this defense has been playing. I mean, you take nine of the points that the Ravens scored were field goals. One was 48, 51, and 56. And then the other 14 points, or I'm just saying, they led up 23 points with the offense giving up four turnovers. So...
yeah, they got a good D.
We'll see what happens moving forward. Indianapolis getting their first victory under Andrew Luck, 23-20, covering the spread. I think it was Minnesota laying a point and a half. I felt good about Minnie coming into Indy, taking care of business. That was not the case. They needed a couple late touchdowns just to make it a game, but Andrew Luck looked pretty solid. 224, two TDs, no INTs.
Yeah, they're still garbage. I'm fading them this week. I don't like this team.
Yeah, it's tough. I don't feel like I learned a lot from this game. All right, now the Arizona Cardinals took a train to Upset City where they beat out the New England Patriots 20-18. 13.5-point dogs winning straight up. Money line paid 6-1, Ryan. How did this happen? Kevin Cobb, not even great. Kevin Cobb didn't even play well. 140 yards, one touchdown. Larry Fitzgerald, 4 yards receiving.
I think they just have a good defense. They blocked the punt, played tough defense. Aaron Hernandez got knocked out of the game with an injury, but they were the Patriots couldn't move the ball. It was weird watching it. It was weird watching Tom Brady struggle. And, at halftime when this game was tied, I thought that Patriots -7 second half was a -7 second half was a lock. And
yep. Oh, yeah, we also got on that, and not come through.
Yeah, what a bad weekend of betting. Mm.
All right. Head over here to the NFC South. Carolina beating out the New Orleans Saints 35-27. But it was Carolina's rushing that really was the star of the game, not Cam Newton. Breeze just not a bad game per se, 325 yards. I guess he did throw 2 picks, 1 TD. All right game, but
Threw that bad pick 6.
Oh, was that? Oh yeah.
And Cam Newton did run for he ran for like 70 yards and a touchdown, but this was 2 games in a row. New Orleans, the game ended up an 8-point game, but they didn't really ever have a chance to win.
Yeah, it was a late touchdown.
They have not looked good this year.
Yeah, I mean
0-2. It's pretty crazy.
Pretty surprising. I thought they would be able to hang tight, get a 10-6, maybe squeak into the playoffs. But I guess we're underestimating, or I underestimated Sean Payton's impact on this team.
It was that damn speech about adversity by their backup head coach.
Yeah, I blame the giant picture of Sean Payton hanging over the team.
That's super cool.
Got to make the guys tense. All right, Ryan, your New York Football Giants outlasted the Tampa Bay Bucks, beating them 41-34, scoring 25 points in the fourth quarter. Wow,
Eli.
This is an ugly game. Eli Manning setting a near NFL record with 510 passing yards, also 3 first half interceptions, but also 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, Eli Manning, he was awesome in the second half. I don't know, Bucks team's not bad, but the story here is the Giants secondary. They need Amukamara back. They looked awful. And luckily, Eli's the man. Nix and Cruz are awesome. Bennett even showed up in this game. They're going to be able to put up points as long as they figure out they shouldn't be lining up in the I formation and running the ball. Just spread it out. Let Eli go to work.
Yeah, you've been saying that for like the past 2 years. Why is it not sunk in with the Giants organization?
This is how the meeting goes. Kevin Gilbride's like, hey, let's try to throw it a little bit more this game. And Coughlin's like, nope, got to run the rock. And I don't know, we kind of missed it watching live, but that the controversy at the end of the game where Schiano had his players dive at the knees of the offensive lineman to try to swat the snap out. I don't know, I don't get why this is. I understand why Coughlin was pissed, and he probably had a good. I mean, the Bucks players were apologizing after the game in the media. Like, sorry, our coach made us do it. I don't know. It seems silly. I don't see what Greg Schiano's trying to accomplish here.
I mean, I guess his argument is that, no, I think it's just more of a mental thing, that the Bucks team quit so hard last year. He's trying to instill this mindset of,
sure,
you play hard to the final snap, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I think there's a gentleman's agreement. You don't try to dive at the guy's legs.
Well, it's one thing in college, but these guys are all like, this is their job. And you're like, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't really have a huge problem with it. I mean, if you're lining up and taking a snap, I don't think it's that much to ask for you to block. They're going to be quick on the whistle. You just line up. They're not going to be able to do much. I think the Giants players were pissed off because they didn't see it coming, and they were just kind of embarrassed and taken back. and then, you know, pissed off. I've never seen anyone get injured on that play. I've also never seen anyone...
Did you see the replay, Sean?
No.
Yeah, they literally were, like, lined up and just dove at the lineman's knees. It was kind of a... I don't know.
Yeah, what... I mean, I'm not really that concerned about it. As an NFL fan, I'm more concerned about these replacement refs, Ryan.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a bit here. Okay, the Skins went into St. Louis, man, and had a great opportunity to win. Late personal foul pushed them back from a 47-yard field goal to a 62-yarder that did not go in. Skins had some moments where they looked really good, as did the Rams, but the Rams outlasted them 31-28. Winning outright at home is a 3.5-point dog.
We both like this game. Or, I don't know, did you? You didn't like this game, did you?
I picked the Rams. I wasn't as high as
I like the Rams. I mean, the 3.5-point home dog is just cash money. Bottom line.
Yeah, no.
Redskins were a little overrated.
I was actually going to do a Rams-Seahawks money line parlay.
Oh.
But my money was tied up in the New England second
half.
Well,
it's probably good you didn't, because one of the teams would have screwed it then.
Yeah, that's how it works. Speaking of the Seahawks, beat up on the Dallas Cowboys 27-7. Cowboys looked very, very bad. Marshawn Lynch running hard once again. Russell Wilson, solid game. I don't know, Ryan. I think the Seattle team is who we thought they were. Maybe 7-1.
We talked about it. They'll be tough defense. They can run the ball. They have a quarterback who it doesn't appear that he's going to make too many mistakes. I don't know. They're going to be a tough out at home. And who knows? I mean, that division is suddenly looking like it's a lot better than we thought. The NFC is so much better than the AFC this year.
How could it not? I mean, obviously it's only two games in, but even going forward, I feel like you could make a pretty strong case as it being maybe the toughest division. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. 6-0-2 teams, only one in the NFC. Who? And it's the Saints. How crazy is that?
Yeah, I know. 0-2, Ryan. You must be talking about the Tennessee Titans.
Oh,
who got
God, they're
shellacked
awful.
Once again, 38-10 by the San Diego Superchargers. Nice win on a short week at home by the Chargers.
I still don't think the Chargers are good.
Antonio Gates banged up. The replacement tight end came in, caught 3 touchdown passes.
Dante Rosario.
Ryan, this is going to be a new segment on the show.
Oh, really? We're going to bring this up? We're not going to bring up the fact that I have under 7.5 for the Titans wins? Or under 7, whatever
and
it is.
A new segment called, was Chris Johnson worth a first-round pick?
No, obviously not.
Another great game.
He's going to bounce back next week.
8 rushes, 17 yards.
They just got to start giving him the McFadden treatment and throw him like 10 balls a game.
He's so bad.
That offensive line stinks. It doesn't help that Locker stinks. That whole offense stinks.
Not looking good for the Titans.
I'm counting my money on that bet already. There's no chance they get to 8 wins. I don't know. They're awful. Now, that being said, I don't know. We'll get to next week in a little bit.
Okay. Real quick, let's blow through these last ones here. New York Jets losing to Pittsburgh 27-10. They were getting 6. I thought they could keep it close. I felt good about it. They looked good early
on
the
good.
Ball and then just went stone cold in the second half. Laid a goose egg. Tebow had a nice run there, but not really much more to report from the Jets offense.
Yeah, Revis being out kind of hurt. I think it could have been closer if he was playing. Mark Sanchez sucks. Got to write that one down so I don't forget.
Yeah, I don't know if I would have picked the Jets, honestly. Because we had the early, you know, picking this a couple days out, you don't get to see the inactive. So I don't know if I honestly don't know if I would have taken it without Revis there. But that being said, Pittsburgh bounced back at home. Nice win for them. Felt pretty solid about San Francisco. Took care of business at home against Detroit, covering the spread, 6.5, 7, depending on where you got it. San Francisco 27-19. San Francisco team, Ryan, is a beast, putting all these stat nerds in their place who thought that, oh my God, San Francisco is going to regress. There's
14
no way,
games left, Sean.
There's no way they, but their over-under was like 10 wins, so you got to be feeling pretty good if you bet that over.
Now, I'm not sure who's going to do this to them. They play the Giants in like 3 weeks, but I want to see this team play from behind. I mean, their defense is obviously really good. I'm still not a believer in
returning 11 starters.
Not believing in Alex Smith. I refuse to believe that he's a good football player.
Yeah, but he doesn't have to be. He's a slightly better Trent Dilfer, and they have a running game.
Yeah, we'll see. They also have one. They haven't sustained an injury basically since the beginning of last season. So,
yeah, and they have a good coach. I don't know.
They don't have a good coach. The Harbaughs are both bitches.
Right, what are you seeing from the San Francisco team that has got... I think it's just personal.
No, they're obviously really good.
What they do to you?
They're obviously really good. They don't scare you, though.
Yeah, but they're really good. They're just a quiet team that just bulldozes away.
Yeah. Dirty.
Yeah, but they get
a lot of holding.
I mean, I'm not fans of them. Don't get me wrong, Ryan.
Harbaugh uses a lot of cheap movement and late to draw off sides. It's a bunch of bitches.
Yeah, but they're really good. We got to factor that in. All right. Atlanta Falcons, 27-21, picking off Peyton Manning three times in the first quarter.
This was easy.
Felt pretty good about this.
You know what?
Bet at home.
If Peyton can't make that seam throw down the middle like he did for so many years, they're in trouble.
Peyton Manning on throws of over 20 yards. Guess what his completion percentage is?
Where the ball flies 20 yards. It's 0%.
0% with 3 interceptions. Yeah. He's 0 for 5.
Now, in his defense, Demaryius Thomas did drop one, but still has not been very efficient with the deep ball.
No. But I still think they can be a playoff caliber team.
Nope.
Just by running the ball and short passes, mixing it up. I just think McGahee looks pretty good. I like going with McGahee.
I don't like this team at all.
I like this team because of their division. You got Oakland and you got Kansas City, or complete garbage.
Moving on.
That's why I think they can do a little damage in the old wild card.
They're a 7-9 team.
I think they'll go 9-7. Ryan, doesn't matter what we pick. It matters what the fans pick. Can we get an update on our NFL Pigskin Pick'em Challenge?
Sure thing, Sean.
Let's graze over the leaderboard.
Of course, the leaderboard, it really doesn't make too much sense or matter yet because it does drop your worst week. So, obviously, you're playing with your best score so far. I have had I'm dropping a 7 from last week. I still have a 9. I'm tied for 9th place. You, of course, had a 9 week 1 and a 10 week 2. Week 2. You are tied for third with 6 other people. We really got a juggernaut in the first spot. Ara Arch. 10 week 1, 12 week 2, sitting in first place. He's in the 99th percentile of all people in ESPN contests. We got M. Boggs holding on to his number 2 spot, but dropped a 4 last week. So he's going to drop that, sitting with his 11. And then, of course, the bunch of people tied at 10, including CRM Sports, Raider Nation, Hook'em, RG3 for the money, and Earned Luck.
All right, go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Click the free Pigskin Pick'em Challenge if you want to get in.
Yeah, it looks like we got a couple more entries after week 1.
Yeah, like you said, you can always drop your worst week. And honestly, you get hot, who knows? You might be able to win a couple $100 from Kramer. Who knows? You might be able to get a free T-shirt. The world's your oyster, guys. Give it a shot. Ryan, let's jump to Hut Hut Hike!
Oh, nice.
The week 3 lines.
Nice. All right. So, of course, the Hilton. Oh, sorry. The Las Vegas Hotel posted their lines for the contest.
Real quick, a funny thing about the Las Vegas Hotel, formerly the Las Vegas Hilton, was that they had this whole area dedicated to Star Trek, and then they just, I don't know, describe the, it's like this whole conference room, I guess, because they used to have, like, Star Trek conferences there. What?
I don't even know why. So, if you take the easiest way to get there is to take the monorail. They got their own stop. You get off, and you walk in, and you walk into this weird, it's like club meets bar meets weird restaurant, but it's all Star Trek theme. I have no clue They must have had some big Star Trek thing there at some time. Some sort, maybe.
Yeah, I think they hosted some conferences there.
Well, they had these big TVs, and now it's just this weird like club slash bar. It's really strange.
Yeah, it's totally set up a Star Trek themed experience, and then they just said, "Screw it, let's still not get rid of all this space shit that they had set up."
Yeah, it's just still there. The TV screens are still like as if they're like spaceship control screens. I don't know. It's weird.
Okay, Ryan.
All right, Thursday night. Giants, another weekday game. The weirdest start to a season for an NFL team in the history of the NFL. Giants travel to Carolina, where they, in the contest, are a pick'em. Since the news of Hakeem Nicks being out, have moved to Giants +2.5.
Seems like a huge jump just for Hakeem Nicks.
Especially because most sites had it at 1.5 the other way. Seems like a lot of points for a wide receiver. That's something that happens with like a quarterback, I feel like. Although it is between the threes, so it's really, although it's moved 4 points, it's not really 4 points.
Though this year it feels like these small spreads have actually been mattering. I don't know. Call me crazy. It seems like they're playing in the factor a little bit more.
We'll pick it at Pick'em. Who do you like?
Pick it at Pick'em. I don't know, Ryan. This Giants team is really banged up. I feel like that last win took a lot out of them. Now you're going on the road against Carolina.
Are you speaking of the road as if it's a bad thing for the Giants? Because I don't know if you've watched them over the last couple of years. They play so much better on the road, away from that stadium.
But they're just too banged up on a short week. Eli Manning, not good on short weeks. 7-8 record on a short week. Give me the Carolina Panthers at home.
Yeah, I mean, I pick them. I'm obviously not going to pick against the Giants. They can easily win this game. Eli looked good. Andre Brown stepped up for Bradshaw. Looks like they're going to be able to run the ball. And as far as receivers, Dominique Hickson might also be out with a concussion.
No, Hickson's out.
He's definitely out.
I'm pretty sure.
I mean, you can't really play 4 days after a concussion. I think Randall.
I'm at Bradshaw. Bradshaw's out too, right?
Bradshaw probably out. Not as worried about that. I think Reuben Randall, Ramsey's Barden, and Jernigan will step up. Prince Amukamara says he will play. Give me the Giants.
I just think with this backfield, this defensive backfield, I think once Cam scrambles, he may not even have to scramble, but once he scrambles, they're going to be tough.
The X factor is the Giants have three very fast linebackers. They can play on their base defense with Bolie Rivers and Jaquan Williams and have the speed to contain their rushing attack. I think that will be big.
All right, we'll see Thursday night. Okay, moving along.
All right. Your St. Louis Rams travel to Chicago to face the Chicago Bears. Rams getting 7.5. It's about right, isn't it, Sean?
Yep.
Yeah.
Gave me that hook, made me think about it.
Yeah, I think the hook is there to make people think about it. The hook is also there because it's not going to scare people away from the Bears. Like I said earlier, I still like the Bears. I think they're a tough team. I'm not discrediting them at all for what happened. They're going back home. I think they're going to dominate. I think Sam Bradford's going to be a little jittery in the pocket. It looks like Steven Jackson hurt? Was he benched? Their backup came in, looked good, but one thing is a constant in the NFL. You do not run the ball against the Bears. I think the Rams need to run the ball. Although one X factor, Cortland Finnegan definitely has the ability to get under people's skin. I hope he does not get under Brandon Marshall's skin. I'll take the Bears here.
Yeah, I like that. Well, Ryan, I'm going to go against your pick just because that feels like it's a good idea these days.
Yep.
I did a little math here, Ryan.
Oh, here we go.
And normally I think stat crunching is kind of gay, but I changed my mind just because looking to shake things up here. Did a little math myself, and Bill Walsh, I guess, Mike Lombardi was saying Bill Walsh had a magic formula: 51. You get the 51, and it means you win the game. The 51 comes from the number of rushes you had plus the number of completed passes. So took a look at it. Feels like it's a pretty solid number. Obviously, I don't know what kind of predictive power it has. But if you look at St. Louis's number, 97 through two games. Obviously, those two games are at home. Bears only 88. So they have a nine-point number that they're getting. They're also getting 7.5 points. I like Jeff Fisher. I think he's I actually think he's a better coach than Lovie Smith. I don't feel like that long week helped the chemistry in the Bears locker room. I think they'll – and, yeah, I kind of like the Rams here.
Yeah, this is one of those situations where I just I don't think – yeah, I don't – if the Rams cover this, I'll say this. It'll be a fourth quarter backdoor. They will not be in this game.
I don't know, Ryan.
Moving on. All right. Tampa Bay Bucks coming off the heartbreaking loss and end of the game shenanigans go to Dallas to face the Cowboys coming off a beatdown. Cowboys laying 7.
Give me the Cowboys all day.
Yeah. Hate to say it, but the Cowboys are going to bounce back in a big way here. I'm not sure the Bucks match up very well against the Cowboys. I think the big matchup here in the Cowboys' favor is Cowboys' defense versus Bucks' offense. Josh Freeman will get hit. He'll make mistakes. I think he was able to be successful last week against the Giants because of those secondary woes. Not the same versus the Cowboys. I think they have it's a big bounce-back game for the Cowboys. I look for them to win big.
I think Tampa Bay Bucks, young team, think they took that loss pretty tough. I think that's a tough loss in New York. Then you got to fly home to Tampa, simmer with this loss, listen to how your coach was a fucking dildo, and then you got to go to Dallas. I think Dallas recovers a little bit better, veteran team, and Ryan. There's one thing we know about the Dallas Cowboys. Tony Romo plays well at home in September.
Yep, it's true. I like the Cowboys receivers versus the Bucks secondary.
Ryan, what's the difference between Tony Romo and Santa Claus?
Santa Claus is a heterosexual?
Yes, and he's not afraid to put in work in December.
Oh, I like that.
All right.
You didn't see that coming, though. You should have said what are the two things they have, the two differences. All right, Niners. Niners travel to Minnesota, where they will be facing the Minnesota Vikings. Vikings getting 7. Now, real quick. This is the first game that I circled as being a watch-out game. Line opened at 6. 89%, well, line opens at 6, quickly moved to 7. Since then, 90% of the money coming in on the 49ers.
Yeah.
The spread must have jumped to 7.5 by now, wouldn't you say, Sean?
No.
No. Dropping back down to 6.5. Always makes you nervous when the money's coming in on one side and the spread is moving the opposite direction. Makes me think there's a lot of sharp action on Minnesota, especially around that 7. I think what's happening is it hits 7, the sharps are buying it up, it drops back down to 6.5, public crushes it. Of course, it locked in at 7 in the contest. What's your take, Sean?
I'm going to have to take Minnesota at 7, Ryan. This is the year of the home team. The year of the home dog, and I don't know, man. I love this 49ers team. 7 feels too much. This Vikings team has a lot of fight to them. They're not a great team, but they have a lot of fight to them. They have a lot of pride. I think the 49ers, maybe a little too high on themselves. I think they're really good. Don't get me wrong. I think they probably win the game, but I'm going to say... Minnesota plus 7. Give me that.
If there's a fantasy running back who I start against the 49ers, it's probably Arian Foster or AP. So, God, AP just looks so dialed in right now. I agree with you, but I also have picked against the 49ers every week. So maybe I should take the 49ers here. But 7 at home plus the weird action with the money makes me think the Vikings are gonna. Vikings are going to be in this game and cover that 7.
Yeah.
All right. Next game.
Oh, real quick, Ryan, just because we were talking about the home dogs. There's a little stat out there. They were talking about how the replacement refs are, how it should be so easy for these refs. And I wouldn't be surprised. Like, this is the time to get to a ref, because these refs are never going to work in the NFL. They're never going to have an NFL career. Their career earnings, I mean, they might be done next week. So if you come to one of these refs who's working as, like, a substitute teacher as his day job, offer him $150,000, and the guy might already be a fan of the team, as we saw with the New Orleans Saints ref, how did these guys not take a fall?
Yeah.
And as they pointed out in the article, there does seem to be a trend of home teams winning and covering. Traditionally, home teams in the first two games won 57.1%. That's from 2000 to 2011. And they covered 49% of the time. So kind of what you would expect. This season, home teams are 23-9. It's a 71.9%. And 19-12-1 against the spread. So if you've looked at all the bad calls, a lot of the bad calls seem to be going the home team's way, as was the case with the Philadelphia Eagles and that questionable offensive pass interference. They're making a lot of bad calls all around. The Atlanta Falcons got a ton of calls Monday night. So I think when in doubt, go with the home team, especially with these replacement refs.
All right, next matchup, Tennessee Titans hosting the Detroit Lions. Tennessee has looked awful, but check this, Sean. Tennessee underperformed the spread by 21 points last week, and they are getting points this week. Spread opened at 3. Money is coming heavy on the Lions. What does that give us? A 3.5-point home dog. I like those 3.5-point home dogs. I like the 20 underperforming the spread by 21 points and getting points the next week at home trend. It's a little suspicious this game hasn't moved further off 3.5, as 85% of the money is coming in on Detroit. This is a close-your-eyes special. Take Detroit. Don't overthink it.
No, take Tennessee.
Sorry, take Tennessee. Don't overthink it. 3.5-point home dog. Tennessee's going to bounce back. A little bit of desperation for Tennessee. Detroit, not sure they can really run the ball, and it looks like some people are starting to lay some groundwork on how you just triple-team Calvin Johnson. Defense hasn't been impressive. That's right. About as good as I can get on that. But I think it's close your eyes, take Tennessee.
Yeah, my 51 number that I was talking about.
How bad is Tennessee on that?
They're a 25-point difference, and they're only getting 3.5. Here's why I say...
The pass is the pass, Sean.
Yeah, jeez, I really want to take the Lions, but...
Take them.
Nah, I can't.
You know that trend is strong.
The underperforming the spread by 21 points, you just don't get work this hard 3 times in this league. There's a little thing called pride. Tennessee Titans come home. They take care of business. It's not going to be pretty, but I give me this 3.5. The Lions went from playing the late game on the West Coast to playing the early game on the East Coast. That's never any good. And, I don't know. Like you said, I can't give you any solid reasons why the Titans win. It's just the intangibles all point to Tennessee. So, Tennessee plus 3.5.
All right. Next up, we have the Cincinnati Bengals traveling to nation's capital to face RG3 and the Redskins. Minus Adam Carricker, minus Brian Arakpo. Sounds like Pierre Garçon's going to be back. This feels like it's going to be a shootout. I like the over. We talked about it a little last week, I think. Seems like the Redskins might be a team you just take the over on every week.
Yeah.
Game opened at 3. Money's coming in on the Redskins. It has since moved to 3.5. That's what the line locked in the contest. Washington minus 3.5.
Give me the Redskins, Ryan. I think RG3 in his first home game is going to play well. I think just when it comes down to it right now, I think he's a better quarterback than Andy Dalton. I don't trust this Bengals team on the road. And I think this Redskins crowd's going to be rocking. And I kind of feel fairly strong about Skins minus 3.5 here.
Yeah, they blew a game. I think they're going to come back strong. I like this a lot more at 3. But if I'm picking a side, I'm taking the Redskins. I think I like the over more than the side here. I just think this Redskins team is going to be able to score. Can the Bengals keep up? All right, Sean. First dog shit game of the early morning games. Jets travel to Miami, where Miami's getting 3 points. Gosh, that just seems like a bad line. I don't really understand why Miami's getting a full three. I guess Jets defense, Revis should be back. Rookie quarterback. I don't love this game. God, gun to my head. In the Jets aren't going to be able to run against the Dolphins. Sanchez hasn't been. This is going to be an under, or feels like it's going to be an under. It's set at 40, a little low. I don't know. Who do you like in this game? I guess I'll roll with Miami.
Home dogs, baby.
Yeah.
I'm feeling that trend. Anytime you got a division game where the home team's getting 3 points, I feel like it's a strong play.
It's just, I don't know, it's scary to take this Dolphins team.
Ryan, the Dolphins on my 51-point scale, they're favored by 13, they're at home, and they're getting points. All great sign, all a reason.
Favored by 13 over the average or total?
No, they have 100. So they're actually on pace for the 51
okay.
magic number.
Jets, so they're 6.5. On average, they're 6.5 better.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I don't love this game, which probably makes it a good play. All right, next. New Orleans welcomes home their. I think we're definitely going to see some people with the brown paper bag over their head. We're going to see some AIDS. I think so.
They're going to have a bottle of pills duct taped to it in honor of Sean Payton.
They've been so spoiled. Well, I think Sean Payton might attend the game with a brown paper bag over his head.
That's going to be a secret.
They've been so spoiled lately. Spags. This is usually the pivot game for the defense showing up. Saints at home hosting the Kansas City Chiefs. Saints seemingly still getting the respect at laying 8.5. I guess if the Saints had played well, this is probably a 10-point spread. But seems high. I don't like this Chiefs team that much. But, gosh, I don't know. What do you think, Sean? This is tough for me.
Ryan, it's not tough for me because I'm all about the numbers here. I'm crunching them. The Chiefs have actually done pretty good, according to this magic number 51 stats. They've, of course, got dominated, but give me 8.5, baby. Give me 8.5.
I'll back up your numbers there. Just another lookout game. Line opened at 10. More than 3/4 of the money coming in on New Orleans, yet the line has dropped a full 1.5 to 8.5. I think some wise money's coming in on Kansas City. I think people realize New Orleans is not the same team they were. Yeah, I think you're probably right. 8.5 does seem high. Don't love this game either, but I'll roll with the dog here.
That's what I like to hear.
Yeah, I don't know. That seems sneaky. It's always weird when the money comes in on one side and the spread moves the other way.
Ryan, Chiefs, Rams, T's.
Oh, stop it. Stop. 6.5-point tease. We'll talk later about that.
Yeah.
We need to start throwing out some three-team teasers. What are we doing? Right,
yeah, we'll do a three-team tease.
All right. Next up, another home dog, the Cleveland Browns, hosting your Buffalo Bills and CJ Spiller.
Ooh. I like those Bills. I like
Browns
the Bills.
Browns getting 3 points. We need to stop right now. The Bills are not a good team.
No.
They should not be favored on the road against anyone, period. The more I look at this game, the more this makes me... I don't understand this at all. Ah, God, I'll take Cleveland all day.
Yeah, I think... you saw what the Jets offense did to the Bills on the road. The Bills being on the road. I think the Browns, they won't be able to put 48 on the Bills, but I think they hang a decent number against this Bills team. I just got to go against Fitzpatrick on the road, even though Brandon Whedon does not look great or does not look experienced.
This is another game. Under. 44.5.
Yeah, that feels way too high. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe Spiller carries the team. He is averaging over 10 yards a carry. Coincidentally, the last person to do that was a running back on the Cleveland Browns, man by the name of Jim Brown, right?
There you go.
little factoid there for some stat nerds. But that being said, give me the Cleveland Browns. I'm basing off Ryan Fitzpatrick against this decent Cleveland defense.
Hey, look, at the end of the day, these three to three and a half point home dogs, they're going to go 500 or better. So, I don't know. It just seems
just
like
ride
you got to ride them. All right, next up, Andrew Luck back on his bus to Canton after that performance at home versus the Minnesota Vikings.
Little detour.
It turns out he's still great. Nothing to worry about. Better than Peyton Manning. And they are going to be hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jacksonville getting 3. Now, real quick, this line opened at 3. 96% of the money coming in on Indy. Line not moved off 3 yet. You know what that tells you.
It's the a books, good number.
The books know that that goes to 3.5. The sharps are going to kill that hook. we're going to go for the turkey here. Jacksonville for the third week in a row. Give them to me. I think this is a game you wait. I think this game creeps up to 3.5 at kickoff. Either way, I'm taking Jacksonville.
I'm done. I'm not going to pick Jacksonville for the rest of the season.
You're going to lay points with Andrew Luck?
Yep.
Okay.
At home? Yeah. At home with this team? Yeah.
You don't think his mind will be elsewhere thinking about his speech for the Hall of Fame?
No, I don't think he's going to be distracted by Hall of Fame voters. I think he's a solid quarterback, or at least good enough.
Do you think he might be distracted by his architecture side projects?
He is working on a popsicle stick.
How...
structure in
a balsa wood bridge.
Yeah.
How is he, how did he graduate Stanford? He might be retarded.
I know. He sounds so much smarter.
I love how the black guy with dreads speaks better than the white guy from Stanford.
With the architecture degree.
He's got a lot of parallels with John Elway in that way. They're both like caveman. They both have a lot of caveman features.
Typical hayseeds.
Yep. All right. Moving on.
John Elway won at home.
So before we move on, Sean.
Sure.
We really need to talk about, of these early games, which games are going on our 4 TVs. All right, one TV will be Red Zone.
All right.
I'm guessing we're going to have some Redskins fans in the house.
Yeah.
So that game will probably be on a TV. But what other games do we watch? Not a lot of... I'd say I'm going to want to watch some of the Niners-Vikings game. I think we're going to have to put the Lions-Titans game on because there's probably going to be a heavy wager by me on that game.
I kind of think this Tampa-Dallas game.
Yeah.
I got Dallas, but I'd like to at least watch the first half.
This is going to be a good morning because a lot of games we can switch around on.
Yeah,
Rams. I'm not really – the only game that I'm guessing will be on consistently is the Redskins.
That'll be nice. All right, then we move into the late game action.
All right, Eagles. Uh-oh. Revenge factor. Traveling to Arizona, where they'll be facing the chosen one, Kevin Cobb, Patrick Peterson, and the Cardinals. Cardinals at home getting 4 points. Call me crazy, Sean. The Eagles have not shown consistency. The Cardinals have shown they can play defense. They can play special teams. But Kevin Cobb is their quarterback. I'm torn here. I really don't want to root for the Eagles. I think taking my passion out of it, I think this is an easy bet on the Cardinals here. Especially good chance Macklin might be out. Is that true? How has he looked?
He just re-bruised his hip. I think he'll end up playing.
It sounds like that guy has a vagina. I don't know. This is a game I want nothing to do with. It feels like they're sucking me in with that 4. The Eagles, if they don't turn the ball over, could end up winning by 21 points. But you know what? I'll roll with that Cardinals defense. They've looked strong. They're going to get hits on Vic. And I think Kevin Cobb just does just enough against his old mentor, Andy Reid, as he dedicates this game to Andy Reid's late son.
He dedicated to the drug dealer who sold him the heroin.
I'm going to take another home dog here. I'll take the Cardinals.
I like the Cardinals as well.
Whoa.
+4 at home against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Whoa.
Hey, maybe there's a little reverse jinx, but...
Well, and we should also bring up line opened at 4. money coming in on the Cardinals. Line, no line movement. So you never know. This does feel like a good line. I would have guessed 4.5 or 5, honestly, but I still like Arizona here.
Yeah, I like Arizona. Basically, a lot of the similar reasons you hit on.
Plus the jinx factor. I'm trying to reverse jinx that action.
The Eagles are 0-2, and I picked them against the spread. I mean, the Eagles are 0-2 against the spread. Although, part of me thinks maybe I picked the Eagles to... All right, I'll pick the Eagles.
All right. it's fine. I mean, the Eagles could easily win this game by three touchdowns.
On my number,
give it to me.
Special number 51. Guess the difference between the Arizona Cardinals and the Eagles on that magic 51 number.
I'm sure the Eagles have an insanely high number because of all those turnovers. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Cardinals had a decent number. I think the Eagles. All right, so I'm going to say the two-game average spread is somewhere in the 8 to 10 vicinity.
The Eagles, 123, Cardinals, 88. So they're beating them by 35,
right.
So
yeah.
17 a game.
Oh, wow, no, I'm not even close.
Yeah, you're way off. The Eagles are averaging 61.5. So they're almost a solid 10 points over the magic number both
They're
games.
Also turning the ball over once a quarter, so...
Anyway. One of these stats have to regress. Give me the Eagles, -4.
All right. Next up, it should be a good game, but I can't understand this line at all. Atlanta travels to San Diego, where Atlanta is getting 3.5 points. I don't think I've seen one good thing out of this San Diego team. They won their week one game because of a long snapper. Their game last week, they looked good for the first quarter and then just didn't look good. Tennessee's defense played them pretty tough. Their defense played all right. Tennessee's offensive line stinks. I don't quite understand it. And then on top of that, I would take Atlanta. I'm taking Atlanta +3.5. But 81% of the money coming in on Atlanta, and yet the line moved from 3 to 3.5. I don't get it. I don't see where San Diego matches up well. I don't know how they cover Roddy White and Julio Jones. I don't think Turner's going to get suspended for his DUI 3 hours after the game. How did he get drunk so fast?
Like, it's impressive.
Yeah, he's a big guy. I don't know. I like Atlanta here.
I agree, Ryan. I like Atlanta. I think
it's not
solid.
Good that we're agreeing on so many picks, Sean.
No, we disagreed on a decent number. Because of the hook. Actually, you know what? Nah. You know what? Now that I think about it a little bit more, give me San Diego.
Oh.
I'll tell you why. Short week. East Coast team going West Coast. A little distractions there. I think they overlooked this game. San Diego always solid at his home. And just because it's a game that doesn't really make much sense. So give me the Chargers at home. I think they get a couple calls here that are going to make a difference. Give me the Chargers.
Yeah,
Matt Ryan.
Big
on
one
the road.
Here. Yeah, Matt Ryan on the road, and Ryan Matthews could be back.
Ryan Matthews will be back. That's my prediction. Denver Broncos.
Oh.
Houston Texans.
Houston. It opened at a pick. Houston is laying 2.5 points.
Wow. Is that what it closed at the contest?
Closed at the contest at 2.5. You can still find it at most books in the 1.5 to 2 range. This is a game I like Houston. I am completely aware that's the sucker side of this, but I'm just a believer. I don't know. It's crazy to say, but I'm a believer in this Houston Texans team, Sean. They have a good defense. They can run the rock. Matt Schaub is efficient. And like we talked about, if Peyton Manning can't throw downfield, I think defenses are going to start to realize it and scheme against it. Always tough to play Denver in the late afternoon night games in Denver, but I will be taking Houston.
Give me the Denver Broncos getting 2.5 points at home. Peyton Manning rebounds, having a fairly solid game. Willis McGahee racks up some yards. This Houston team will turn the ball over. And they will lose the game. I like Denver to win. Like them to win outright.
Oh, nice.
I think Houston, this is a big jump up for them in competition. Denver's D plays really good at home. I think the elevation gets Houston a little bit early here. And, yeah, I like the Broncos.
See, I think their ability to run, keep their defense off the field, is what will help them win this game.
Well, Houston, I think Denver will be able to – I think McGahee will be able to run.
I will set McGahee's over-under at 88.5 yards, and I will crush the under.
I was going to say 87, but I still like the over.
All right, next up, play that lock sound effect.
Chink.
The Pittsburgh Steelers traveling to the Coliseum where they face the Oakland Raiders. Raiders getting 4 at home. Desperation game. And check this, Sean. Oakland Raiders underperformed the spread by 21 points last week.
Oh, wow.
Getting points at home. I think Carson Palmer has a decent day. McFadden breaks out. Polamalu, questionable. Don't know his status. And last but not least, this line opened at 4.5. 89% of the money coming in on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yet the line has dropped to 4. All signs picked to Oakland in my lock of the week.
Oh, man. All right. Jesus
you
Christ.
You can't go against that trend, and you know
nope.
it.
Give me the Oakland Raiders.
What's the spread on your sheet look over there, Sean? Not good, huh?
It's fair, because there's a 10-point difference, but Oakland's at home, and they're getting 4. So, in my calculations, that's about right.
Yeah, I like this Oakland. I like this Oakland team at home here in a desperation game. They got must win game 0-2 versus a Pittsburgh team that, if not for Ben Roethlisberger's third down heroics, who knows? They could also be. I guess they're already 1-1, but have not looked good overall, I would say.
Yeah, I was down on Pittsburgh, and I'm going to keep riding that downward spiral.
Oh.
They beat the Jets at home, but I think it's another thing to win on the road. Oakland, I feel, is like just due for a win. So, yeah, I think if Oakland can run the ball, I think they're all right. They keep it close. I like them getting 4.
All right. Sunday night. NBC has been getting a boner over this game since the beginning of the season. Rematch of the AFC Championship game. Patriots coming off a loss. Traveling to Baltimore, facing the Ravens.
Wow, is this a tough game?
I can't imagine a Belichick coach team will not bounce back. One thing to talk about is Bill Belichick keeping Wes Welker on the bench so they don't have to pay him as much money next year. Allegedly, Julian Edelman has beaten out Wes Welker for the starting job. Seems a little ridiculous. I think Wes Welker gets back into it. I think Belichick realizes he's an idiot. I like the Patriots here. Rarely do you get the Patriots getting points, especially a full 3.
Especially after a straight-up loss.
I think if you spread this Baltimore defense out, you can exploit their slowness and their age. I like the Patriots here.
Yeah, I think the Patriots are able to learn from what the
Eagles... I just like the bounce-back factor.
Well, but you could say that for the Ravens, too. That's why this is a tough game to call. I think in a toss-up game like this, give me the team getting a couple points. This Ravens seems good, and they're at home, man. You know what? Give me the Ravens. I'm going to mix things up a little bit here this week. Give me the Ravens -3 at home. I can make a solid argument for that. I think they're pissed off after that AFC conference game. I think they're pissed off at the refs. They're going to be at home. I think Ray Lewis will be able to intimidate these refs at home in particular. And I think without their dual tight end threat, New England's not the team that they thought they were.
They did sign Kellen Winslow.
Yeah, but he's not going to be able to play the offense. I mean, Ocho Cinco couldn't figure out the offense in a year. I don't think Kellen Winslow can pick it up. Why did he get bounced from so many teams? He had like 75 catches last year. Is he just a problem?
Yeah. Speaking of Chad Johnson. So before I came up here, flipped on Inside the NFL on Showtime. Of course, have you watched it all this year, Sean?
No, I haven't.
All right. So, of course, last year it was JB, Chris Collinsworth, Phil Simms, and Warren Sapp. Warren Sapp just not on the show. They didn't replace him. They're just going with guest people.
Yeah.
Week one, they had Bill Cowher. Guess who the guest was this week? Chad Johnson.
Nice. Well,
why do we care about Chad Johnson? Oh, my goodness.
We don't.
It was pretty bad. He was talking from the heart about how he lost two things he loved, his wife and football. Almost looked like he was about to cry. It was all very gay. Anyway, you like Baltimore?
Yep, give me Baltimore, baby. All right.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to take New England. It's the night game, so obviously I'm going to bet on it. We'll see what I end up going with. I hate these. All right, last game, Monday Night Football. It's going to be loud. The 12th man is going to be raging for their Seattle Seahawks. And the strangely colored Russell Wilson hosting the Green Bay Packers, coming off a big win, extra rest. In the contest, this line locked at 3. Seattle's a 3-point home dog. I'm gonna drop some craziness on you, Sean. This line opened at 4.5 for Green Bay, right? 80% of the money comes in on Green Bay. The line drops to 3.
Means there were some large bets placed.
That means someone knows something. Yeah. I don't think we've seen Green Bay's offense play well yet. Seattle's another one of those teams. They have physical corners. They have a good pass rush. I think if they can stay, as if Green Bay goes up early, this game's done. But if Seattle hangs in it or gets up early with a special teams play, watch out, Green Bay, upset alert. I'll take Seattle. I'm most likely going to wait, let this line creep back up to 3.5 or 4. But I like Seattle at home on a night game.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep riding these home dogs this week. It feels like a good trend, and I'm going to just stack my chips in the home dog category. Yeah, I'd love this at 3.5, so maybe just buy the half point, make your life a little bit easier. But
on the offshore establishment we may or may not use, it is 3.5 right now.
Oh, nice. All right, so that's a solid play there. All right, Ryan, you want to throw out a three-team tease?
Oh, my goodness, do I. So, I've done horrible with these all year. It's been a disaster. Here's my three-teamer.
It's six, right?
Well, yeah, we're going to do a three-team, six-point tease, pays plus 180. Give me Chicago Bears minus 1.5. Dallas Cowboys minus 1 or 2, depending on what your spread is. And give me the Kansas City Chiefs plus 14.5.
Ooh, sneaky.
Yeah, I think I like all those. I mean, obviously, you could also go the route of just taking those home dogs we like, getting them all up over a touchdown. My alternate three-team tease would be Oakland plus 9.5. God, that's ridiculous.
Or plus 10, right?
Yeah, depending on what it is. It's 3.5 or 4. Oakland plus 10. Wow. Dare I? Miami plus. If you can find Miami still at 3, it's dropped. But Miami bumped that up over a touchdown, however you cut it. 8, 8.5, 7.5, whatever you can find. And then throw, I don't know. You want to throw Cleveland in there? You want to throw Arizona? You want to throw, let's just throw Seattle in there. Seattle plus.
Here's what 10. I got, Ryan. Cowboys minus 1.
Yeah, I think we both like that one.
Falcons plus 9.5.
Oh, why did I forget? Yeah, that's in there.
Falcons plus 9.5.
I revised my tease to agree with yours.
Oakland plus 10 and Patriots plus 9.
Oh, you're going four teamer.
Yeah.
Oh,
four team tease.
That's gonna pay 3-1, Sean.
I like it.
Yeah, so much. The nice thing about this week is not a ton of that crappy money line parlay action. Not tempted by too much. I might even put a small play on the Chiefs money line. I just don't feel good about it, but I don't know. I don't like any of the heavy favorite money lines.
All right, Ryan. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening to the Sports Gambling Podcast. Make sure you check us out on Twitter, at Gambling Podcast. We'll be live tweeting picks, updates, second half spreads. You got it. We'll tweet it. Also, make sure you go to the website and click the Amazon link. Amazon, is, of course, your lead pipe lock for amazing online retail. Make sure you click through that link, support the podcast, and iTunes, Stitcher, of course. Rate us, thumbs up, star. It's all good. For the Sports Gambling Podcast, I'm your host, Sean, stacking the money green, and he is Ryan.
Halfway to broke.
Kramer, let it ride.